The love of my life. Here we are.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning again. I'm really excited about what God has. Today, we're going to talk about the prophet Jonah. And I'm really excited to talk about him a little bit. What do you think of when you think of Jonah? You think of a whale, right? Or a great fish. So there is so much more to that story than just Jonah and the whale. So we're excited. We're going to actually read the story to you. So what we want you to do is just kind of either close your eyes and picture it, or, you know, just in some way, picture this happening. Okay. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying,
"Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me."
But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said,
"How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish."
Each man said to his mate,
"Come, let us cast lots so we can learn on whose account this calamity has struck us."
So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him,
"Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? Where is your country? From who? What people are you?"
"I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land."
Then the men became extremely frightened.
"How could you do this?"
For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them,
"What should we do to you so that the sea may become calm on us?"
For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy.
"Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you."
However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Then they called on the Lord and said,
"We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us, for you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased."
So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish.
"I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice. For you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord."
Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying,
"Arise, go to Nineveh, to the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you."
So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city, 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said,
"Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown."
Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. He issued a proclamation, and it said,
"In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and my nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water, but both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. Let men call on God earnestly, and each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hand. And who knows, God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish."
When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said,
"Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life."
"Do you have a good reason to be angry?"
Then Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. There he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head, to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day, and it attacked the plant, and it withered. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying,
"Death is better to me than life."
Then God said to Jonah,
"Do you have a good reason to be angry about the plant?"
"I have good reason to be angry, even to death."
"You had compassion on the plant, for which you did not work, when which you did not cause it to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there was more than 120,000 persons, who did not even know the difference between their right hand and their left, as well as many animals?"
The end. So, that was kind of fun. Now, I want you to think about this. Jonah probably wrote the book of Jonah, but there may have been someone else that accounted, you know, took that accounting of his experience, because Jonah's written in the third person. This is a prophet, okay? So somebody wrote down what Jonah experienced. So a story is usually written when? After it happens, right? Not in the middle of it, after it happens. And aren't things so much more clear after they happen? You tell the story, and now, point A makes much more sense now that I'm on the other end. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, a couple months ago, I guess it was actually over a year ago, I did a message called Get Up. Everybody remember the Get Up, right? Been there, bought the sweatshirt, right? Okay. Literally, we had sweatshirts. So almost 2 years ago, I gave that message, and that was a message on not allowing complacency and isolation and fear and depression to keep us from the thing that God had called us to. In this book, I love that it says that when God called Jonah, he got up, right? And then he ran, right? He ran away. I think he kind of went, "Hey God, look over there." And he ran, you know, went the other way when God told him where to go. So we're going to look at the map real quick. Now, I know that, there's no light on this. Okay. This is where Jonah was when God called him. Gath Hepher. God called him to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh is 500 miles away. Now, right now, by car, it's only 350. So if he had had a car, it wouldn't have been as far. But 500 miles. Instead, what did Jonah do? He ran. He went to Joppa. He paid a price to get onto that boat. And let me tell you, when we walk away from God, don't we pay a price? Okay? So that he could flee as far as possible as he could get from where he was. He came all the way over here to what is now Spain, right? That's where he was planning to go, to Tarshish. God bless you. That is how I used to remember Nineveh and Tarshish, right, Mom? We figured this out. I needed to memorize. And Nineveh is the work up to a sneeze. Tarshish is the actual sneeze, and that's how we remembered it. Okay, you're welcome, everyone. So Jonah got on the boat at Joppa, right? And they started going, and then what happened? The storm came, right? So he was going in the opposite direction. This was 2,500 miles away. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going 2,500 miles away, or if I'm even going 500 miles away, I'm going on vacation, right? I'm not going to, like, do something for God, right? Well, I would. But you know what I'm saying. Sorry, Lord. Okay, now guess where he's going to send me? To 2,500 miles. Lori, figure out what's 2,500 miles away, a good spot. I'll go there. Okay. All right. Now, so Jonah got on the boat, right? He ran. Obviously, when Jonah got on that boat, he knew he was wrong. He knew he was wrong because God does not let go of us, even when we try to run. So what did Jonah very quickly do? He went down to the bottom of the ship, he hid, and he went to sleep. Don't you want to do that when you mess up? Don't you want to kind of just run and hide and go to sleep? Jonah was running away from God, but he was also trying to escape himself. When I'm sad or down, a nap helps me to escape my thoughts, right? So, at the time, just think about this. Put yourself in Jonah's shoes, why he ran away, okay? He was a follower of God. He was a Hebrew, right? He was a follower of the God. He was one of the good guys. Where God was sending him to Nineveh, they were the bad guys, even though Israel was still sinning against God. So at the time, following God, the God of the universe, was reserved only for the Israelites, only for the Jewish people, only for the Hebrews. Okay, it was reserved only for them. It wasn't until Jesus came that Jesus said that he came for both the Jews and the Gentiles, the followers or those that were born into it, and also now those that weren't born into it. Jesus came for everyone, okay? So this was kind of counter-spiritual, counter-cultural for Jonah to just go 500 miles to tell them, and this was enemy territory. This isn't in the word, but I'm thinking, putting myself in Jonah's shoes, he might have been thinking, I'm not going to enemy territory and telling them not to, you know, to repent. I'm not going to tell them not to come against us. They'll kill me, right? And isn't there at least one believer in Assyria, in Nineveh, that could say, hey, guys, we should really start following the God of the Hebrews and not worship idols? You know, you're sending me 500 miles? To us, 500 miles is, you know, get on a plane and get there. But he had to, like, walk and probably hitch a ride and who knows what else, ride a camel, right? So following God was reserved for only people from his area, right? But God was sending him out. So the Hebrews also believed that prophecy was reserved only for their people as well, and that God would simply just bring damnation upon their enemies. That was their mindset. So Jonah had a hard time believing that God would forgive a nation like that, right? He didn't want God to forgive them because he had learned that they were not worthy of forgiveness. Everybody following so far? All right, okay. Now, so Jonah said, I won't go, and he ran. He paid the price, right? Now, he attempted to get as far away from God as possible, and we all know that's impossible. But we have the word of God that says, no matter where we go, we cannot flee from the presence of God. Jonah thought that God simply lived in Israel and he could run away from him. Jonah made a bad decision, right? But with good reason in his mind. So he promptly hid in the lower deck and went to sleep. When a dog disobeys, don't they run and hide? Right? Even a dog knows where to hide when they mess up. So Jonah was running away from God and he was attempting to escape himself. So a storm came, a big storm. I mean, it had to be huge because the guys on the boat even knew there is a reason this storm is happening. This was not a normal storm. This was huge. So Jonah confessed, right? When they came down to him and they said, on whose account is this? Is this your fault? And Jonah fessed up and he said, I'm running from God. I'm the one. He sort of raised his hand in bravery and said, it's me. Throw me overboard. If you throw me overboard, then the storm will stop. Jonah would rather die, right, then go and do what God had called him to do. He probably thought, well, if I go in the ocean and I die, good, then I don't have to do what God called me to do. I'll get out of it, right? Jonah was ready, though, to also die for the people. He could have easily went down with the boat with all of them, right? Talk about a heart that was torn. He probably thought, how did I get myself in this mess? Can I start over again? Right? So the men tried to row to shore. They tried to save everybody, but they couldn't. So they prayed, God, don't punish us. Don't bring this blood upon our hands. And they threw him overboard, right? I wonder if those men ever discovered that Jonah did live. I wonder if they ever heard his story. So Jonah went into the sea and he sank. And it sounds like he sank pretty deep based on his prayer, right? He thought he was a goner. I'm done. I'm sinking to the depths of Sheol here. But God, in his infinite wisdom and amazing improvisation skills, right, sent a fish. This is the part that makes everyone think Jonah's story is a fairy tale. That's impossible. God sent a great fish to swallow Jonah to carry him to shore? Yeah, sure. Okay, well, do you think he could fit inside a fish? Probably. Has anyone ever done this? Anybody here? Okay. Cliff wants to do this. Well, sharks, okay? Honey, I don't know if this will chew you. I'm not sure, but I am not going in with him, okay? So if we ever go away, that 2,500 miles to go do that. Okay, anyway, that's Cliff's dream, so we'll pray for that, okay? Can you imagine the ride? I mean, there, look, you know, this is modern day. Who knows? Do you ever watch, like, Shark Week? I love Shark Week. The deeper they go, the uglier the animals get. Did you ever notice that? God's like, I put them down there on purpose. They're ugly. They were just prototypes, people. They were, okay. Okay. So I was watching Jonah with Bella. I don't know if you ever heard of Superbook. I love Superbook. It's by CBN, and they put out cartoons about the about Bible stories and stuff. So they're on Superbook, and the kids are actually with Jonah in the water. And as the fish is coming, one of the children yells, oh no, what should we do? And the other kid says, try to taste disgusting. Try to taste disgusting. Now, okay, I didn't make a craft for this, but I wanted to. But all right, so this is, let's pretend I made this. Okay, I put this together. I assembled it. All right, I assembled this. If I want to take this thing and I want to move it over there, can I do that? Yep, I made this. I can move it over here. Clear across the stage, right? There's no doubt in that. Do you believe God made the fish? Do you believe God made the world? Do you believe that he could take that fish and say, you're going over here? God is not limited by his creation in any way. God is not limited. If God is the all-powerful creator God, preparing a fish and timing the whole event was not a great drain on his power or ability. He is in no way limited by his creation. Amen? Okay. So, it's amazing, but not impossible. That is the way with every story that God writes. Every God story. There is always something that makes you go, no way, really? Wow. No way. Cliff and I prayed for years for a child. When we got married, we picked a name, Brie. B-R-I-E. 18 years later, well, 15 years later, when we got Bella, her initials spell B-R-I-E. That's a God story. You could not make that up, right? So when we saw her birth certificate, we went, no way, really? Wow. And there's you got a story that's no way, really? Wow. Because that's what God does. He does the no way, really wows to get our attention. Because if he was just like everything else, we wouldn't notice him, would we? Okay. So God is the great orchestrator, and he always has his kids in mind. Yeah, but Jonah was in the belly of a fish. Wouldn't he be digested or something? Wouldn't he suffocate? Under natural circumstances, yes, his survival rate was probably very slim. But this was not natural. This was supernatural. Supernatural. Remember how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not harmed in the fire when they said, no, I will not bow to your idols. And the king said, if you won't bow, I'm going to make this fire 7 times hotter than it was previously, and we're going to throw you in there. And when they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, suddenly there weren't only 3 guys in there. There were 3 guys plus a fourth, which was Jesus, and they were not harmed. And they came out of the fire unharmed. That's impossible. No way. Really? Wow. But it happens. And God does the amazing to prove that he is God. Amen. So when God applies his super to our natural, there will always be an element of rational and an element of wondering that requires faith. It's faith that pleases God. Remember? God of the universe? Our little brains, right? The globe? Here's you, right? You're on that golf ball, right? God of the universe and our little brains, we cannot comprehend all that God has done. And yet, we have the mind of Christ, which requires faith. Okay. If Jonah were a fictitious story, then Jesus would not have used the story of Jonah as a real-life example of what he was going to do. In the book of Luke and the book of Matthew, I'm going to read what he said. As the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is a wicked generation. It seeks for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation." Sign means a testing miracle. It means a proof. They wanted proof that Jesus was who he said he was. And he was showing them time after time after time that he was. He was doing the no way, really wows in front of their eyes. And they still didn't believe. Give us a sign. The only sign you're going to get is Jonah. They knew Jonah. They knew the story of Jonah. Okay, so in Matthew 12, he also says, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." It doesn't say that Jonah even did one miracle. He came in the power of God and in the smell of a fish, right? He got some attention, right? And he said, "You need to repent." And suddenly, the Holy Spirit of God went through that city, and everyone said, "Yes, we need to repent." It was the Holy Spirit's work in their hearts, not just Jonah's words, but the work in the heart that made them say yes. Okay. So just as Jonah was in the belly of a fish, and it could not digest him, Jesus was in the belly of the earth, and it could not consume him. So if you believe that Jesus defeated death and rose from the grave, then you can believe that Jonah survived a ride in a living submarine, right? So Jesus walked from the grave, and Jonah was spit out, vomited, that's the word that's in the Bible, onto the land. So if I can explain a God story in terms of science and my own rationale, right, it eliminates the need for faith. Right? That's why when God does things, he does a little bit of what we can explain, and a little bit, and sometimes a whole lot of what we cannot explain. God's stories will always leave us pursuing more of him. What some will call coincidence, I like to call God incidents. That's a coincidence. No, that's a God incident. He did it, right? So why would we spend time on the fish story, right? Literally the fish story, right? Okay. Because belief in God's word is what drives us to serve God. We come to know him, we come to love him, and we come to serve him. All three of those things require belief. Cliff has been teaching, we cannot act contrary to what we believe. Belief is faith, and God's stories will increase our faith. So the foundation of Christianity is faith in Jesus Christ. Right, there's a lot we can't see yet, but God manifests his supernatural powers day after day after day just by simply keeping the earth on its axis and in orbit, right? So if God could pick up a fish and move it, why didn't God simply pick up Jonah and move him? Could God do that? The short answer is yes. Why didn't he? Free will. Not to be confused with Free Willy. This is what happens when you have whales on the brain. Okay, I typed free will, and because I've been looking at fish, I thought of Free Willy, so in case that was on anyone else's mind, if your brain works like mine, you thought of it before I did, okay? But seriously, God does not rob us of choice. He does not rob us of free will. You know, will God chase after a man until he relents, repents, and returns? Yes, because he is perfecting us until the day of Christ Jesus. He will not stop pursuing your heart. All right, so chasing Jonah down was like trying to chase down a running toddler, I think. Did you ever try to chase a little toddler? They're here and they're there, and then, you know, fine. I'll just wait. I'll wait till you come back to me. You'll come back when you're hungry, right? Okay. When Jonah came to what Jonah came to understand as he sank deeper and deeper into the sea, and as he was brought to shore by the fish, is that we cannot run away from God. We can run. We can even hide in a really good spot, but God is there. Now, the song "There Was Jesus" this morning, when we were singing that, I was thinking about how no matter where you are, there was Jesus. He's right there, There was Jesus. He's in everything. He's with us always, always, right? We cannot escape the calling on our lives. You cannot escape the call on your life. It cannot be revoked. God does not change his mind about your reason for living. Say, God does not change his mind about me. God does not change his mind about me. His call will not relent. He might be quiet for a little bit, but he's going to keep pursuing you. I feel like the call of God is like a giant magnet, right? And God is holding the magnet. And as you try to run, the more you try to run, the more you're like... And then you're like, fine, right into him, right? Right? And that's what we have to do, turn and relent. I surrender, Lord. Wave the white flag. I'm yours. Use me. If we don't do that, we will feel empty. Please love me after this service. God did not call you to just come here and sit down and watch. God called you to come here and prepare for company that's coming, the lost that are going to walk into these doors. You may be sitting here right now, and this is your first time in church. You may be watching, and you've never walked into a church. You are welcome here. Like Nicole said, she'll greet you with some joy. Other people will tell you you're nuts for what you're doing, right? That's crazy. You shouldn't do that. You don't want to do that. That's too difficult, too much time, too much money, too much faith. And this is what I say. May everything you ever do for Jesus require faith like you've never had to muster. That's how we grow into the image of Jesus. Grace to grace, faith to faith, glory to glory. We can make progress or we can make excuses. You can make progress, you can make excuses in everything. Well, I'm trying to lose weight. Really? While you're sitting on the couch with a bag of chips? I've done it. Tomorrow's another day, right? God had a mission for Jonah. Jonah made excuses. To him, those excuses were valid reasons for not going to Nineveh, right? God must have it wrong, right? Does God ever have it wrong? No. That makes you mad sometimes, doesn't it? He was right all along, right? But no matter where Jonah went, there was God, even in his pursuit to flee the presence of God. God was pursuing his heart, even stirred up a storm, blew the wind in to get his heart back to him. That's the God we served. He'll bring in the storm to bring you back to him. So Jonah, after being swallowed and then vomited onto the dry land, heard the voice of God again. Now picture this. Jonah, covered with seaweed, living on sushi for 3 days, right? 3 days in the belly of a fish, whale, whatever it was, it stank in there, right? Did you ever get trapped in an outhouse? Okay, it's worse than that. I'm not trying to be gross, but let's get real. What he went through, running from God was not so great, was it? Not so great. He just landed. He's exhausted. And God's like, go to Nineveh, right? Pick him up, go to Nineveh. Notice that God's word to Jonah did not change. God didn't talk to him between the time he called him and the time he called him again, did he? Jonah prayed. Jonah knew what he did wrong. But as soon as he got back to where he was supposed to be, God said the same thing. God's word, his call, did not change. Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. God does not take them back. God does not take them back. When he calls you to do something, he wants you to do it. Tim, I'm looking at you. Tim, if God calls you to do something and you don't do it, he's not going to say, Lee, can you take Tim's spot? He's going to keep pursuing your heart, Tim. He's going to keep pursuing your heart, Josh. If you don't do it, Steph's not going to do it. God's going to keep telling you to do it. And that's to every single person in this congregation. His word is irrevocable. Some of us get stuck in our walk with God and we wonder why we feel depressed and frustrated. Cliff and I, when we counsel people, we'll always say, what's the last thing God told you to do? Because next time you talk to God and you're listening, he's going to tell you the exact same thing. That's going to be the first thing he says. So you know you were created on purpose for a purpose. It's your choice to follow him. But he will never stop pursuing your heart. And he doesn't forget about you. The call of God is like that magnet. You can accept him or reject him, though. So where are you? Where are you in God? Are you running from him or are you walking with him? I love the way Jonah said, I'm the one, right? He could have easily renounced his God and said, I don't know why this storm is stirring up. I have no clue. I just wanted to take a nap. But instead he said, hey guys, I'm the one. I was running from God. Throw me overboard. I'm the one. Okay? It's my fault. Let's get real practical. Monday morning, again, please love me. Monday morning, our children's ministry director, Yvonne, said, Sunday, I have 8 holes in my children's ministry schedule. That tells me that there are 8 people that God is calling to fill those holes in our children's ministry. Can you raise your hand and say, I'm the one. I'm the one God's been telling, but I've been dragging my feet. I've been running from God, right? Some will say yes to him, and some will run the other way. Preschoolers, right? Run from the preschoolers. No, I can't teach the teens. Yes, you can, and that's how you learn. I'm the one. I'm the one God's speaking to be part of this ministry. I'm the one God's calling to go back to school, and I haven't done it yet. I'm the one running. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 20:24, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself so that I may finish my course. Say finish. Finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the grace, the gospel of the grace of God. Just like Paul, Jonah surrendered. He relented, repented, and returned to the race that God had for him. God knew he'd turn back. He knew it wasn't going to be without a fight, though. And that's why he pursued his heart. And I believe the story of Jonah is not about a whale. It's about people engraved upon the heart of God. People matter to God. God didn't tell another prophet to do Jonah's job. Jonah was worth the pursuit. The people of Nineveh, the wicked, were worth the pursuit. And you are worth the pursuit. Notice how God even used the fact that Jonah ran. The men on the boat turned to God too. God can use you when you're on the run. And that's really cool too. It doesn't matter where you are on that line, God can use you right where you are. So why does God pursue our hearts and never relent? Because we matter to him. The lost matter and are engraved on the heart of God. Jesus said even the good shepherd would leave the 99 to chase after the one to bring them back. He would go to the ends of the earth for you. He's compassionate, patient, slow to anger, like we can't even fathom. God cares so deeply for people, yes, even the wicked. And God knew that Nineveh was worth one more call, at least one more time to say, are you going to turn to me? And even the king, the leader, said, everybody put on your burlap, get in the ashes, because we are repenting before God. And repent simply means to turn. You're trying to run from God, and he says, repent, you turn back to him. That's all repentance means. So God has designed you to serve his kingdom, to bring people to him. You, my friends, may be like Jonah, called by God but running. You might be like the great fish that God has called to help pick someone up and carry them to where they're supposed to be, right? When Jonah peeled himself up off that beach, he returned to his call, and he went. And as he walked through the city, he said, repent, right? And they came to him. The journey was a success, right? No, Jonah was mad. Why did he get mad? He was frustrated at his journey, you know? And then he knew God wouldn't do what he said he was going to do anyway by destroying the city. Why was he upset? He was having a moment of selfishness, right? But he knew he was wrong because we see it in the Word. We see that he knew what God was teaching him. Okay. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God always has the lost in mind. So the most amazing thing about this story is not a man and a fish, but the fact that violent people who worshiped idols and other gods softened their hearts and turned to God. It is hard to turn a hardened heart. But God saw one little soft spot and he pushed it and they turned, right? Are the lost engraved on your heart? God's calling cannot be revoked. Therefore, relent, repent, and return to the race he's called you to. Again, where are you now? His call on you. Will you relent, repent, and return? What is God speaking to your heart to do that you haven't done? Picture yourself on that boat. What boat are you in that's taking you in the opposite direction of where you're supposed to go? What has God told you to do that you're not doing? Do you need to jump out of the boat of addiction? Do you need to jump out of the boat of being on media all the time and being fearful? Do you need to jump out of the boat to get back to ministry? Do you need to reconcile your marriage and jump out of the boat? of walking away. Where are you? What is God telling you to do next? Are the lost engraved upon your heart? Okay. Jesus understands our weaknesses. Even Jesus. Just as Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days, so was Jesus in the grave. The fish couldn't digest Jonah, and the grave couldn't consume Jesus. Hallelujah, we serve the God who forgives and the God who lives, right? Amen. Cliff says so often, if you think serving God is hard, try running from him. Many of you are walking with God, and you know that you're doing exactly what God's called you to do. But watch out. He might have a new assignment, and it's going to be good. So will you answer the call to come to him, to come back to him, to obey what he's asked you to do? Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes for one moment, and then we'll be finished with the service. Lord, help us to dare to be a Jonah, to dare to say, I'm the one. I'm the one that's supposed to be doing that thing that you called me to do, and I don't want to run anymore. Today, if you do not have Jesus in your heart, if you never said yes to him, you never asked him to come in truly, and like Dakota said, you never truly gave your life to him, and you'd like to do that, just raise your hand. I want to see you. I want you to say, I'm the one that hasn't asked Jesus in my heart yet. I won't point you out, but I'm the only one that'll see you. Now, if you're here today also and you are saying, I'm the one that's running from God, and I know there's something he wants me to do, and I just need the courage to do it. Raise your hand. Anybody? A few of you? Awesome. You see your hands. I see you. I see you. Okay. Lord God, I just speak courage over this congregation in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you that you call us to do things that seem impossible. That's the God story on our lives. A little bit of what we can understand and know, and a whole lot of what we have to have faith for. So Lord, increase our faith, increase our courage to do the things that are hard and difficult and maybe don't even make sense to us. Lord, I pray for those who have not yet said yes to you, that you would help them to just follow you, to say yes, to relent, to repent, and to return to the race that you've called them to do. Help us, Lord, to finish well. When we land before the throne of grace, that you would say, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.